Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Today, I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. We've got a really important show for you. When you think about it, single parents have one of the hardest jobs ever. In fact, I want to give a shout-out to all the single dads and the single moms listening today. My prayer is that Jesus will overwhelm you with his grace, with good friends, with deep, rich sleep at night. And may he remind you over and over again how for you and how with you he is. Well, today's show is specifically for the single mama. And I want to just ask, how are you doing these days? Do you feel overwhelmed, ill-equipped, and even alone? Do you wonder where God is and all the craziness that makes up your life? Well, if so, today's show is just for you. My guest is Michelle Centers. She joins me to talk about her book, The Unseen Companion, God with the Single Mother. A quick announcement before we get her on. Just want to make sure that you've checked out our Faith Radio app. It's free. You can download it on your smartphone by going to the Apple App Store or Google Play. Just do a search for Faith Radio Network and you'll find it. And that way, if you travel this season, you can take us with you and you can catch our shows, live stream them from anywhere in the world, and also catch the podcast after the fact. So check it out. And also, if you're on iTunes, our shows automatically upload to iTunes. You can subscribe for free to the podcast that way and catch again after the live show after the fact. So really great ways to catch the shows if the live show doesn't work for your time schedule. Let me tell you about my guest now. We'll get her on the show. Michelle Centers is founder and director of Scene, a ministry designed to demonstrate the love of Christ to single moms and equip the church to meet their spiritual needs. She's a popular Bible study teacher and sought after speaker at women's events and writers' conferences. She lives in Colorado with her husband of 6 years and two daughters. She recently grew her family through an adult adoption of a third daughter, making her a grandmother. Dear Michelle, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, looking forward to the conversation. And we love to start our conversations talking scripture. And you chose Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord my God, I'll give you thanks forever. I love that passage. Talk about it, if you would.
I do, too. When I began this journey so many years ago as a single mother, I was a single mother for nearly 9 years, and it was the time prior was such a tumultuous time of crisis in my life. And then going into the world of a single mother unprepared for what was ahead, I began it feeling victimized and feeling broken and distraught and truly in the mud of the earth. And God has just a way of pulling us out of that place and restoring who he designed us to be, restoring joy, restoring a sense of purpose and identity and companionship, and has a way of holding us in a way that we feel loved and seen and heard. Mm. And so that scripture really speaks to that, going from the depths to the heights, and that is available for each and every one of us.
And boy, that's such an important point, that it's available. I mean, those seasons of mourning are there, but we do get through them. Yeah. And if it's okay with you, Michelle, I'd love to know about your backstory, how you came upon single motherhood, and what were some of the hardest parts of that story?
Sure. I have been married for 12 years, had two daughters in that period of time. And without giving away too much personal information, I found myself in a relationship that became emotionally abusive to the point where it was every day. It was to a point where I, in my sick way of thinking at that time, I almost wish that there had been physical abuse so that someone would see the bruises on the outside and rescue me from that situation. It was so hidden and wrought with shame. And my now ex-husband, he then also had severe addictions, both to alcohol and pharmaceutical drugs. And so there was just no escape from that. And so I ended up leaving that situation to keep my daughters and I physically and emotionally safe, and began this life of being a single mother. But I entered that just really as a walking wounded. I didn't have the belief that I could do it on my own, felt that I was entirely on my own. And that belief, you know, of course, changed into realizing that the Lord God is always with me. He will never abandon or forsake me. But I began in the depths and struggling with finances. I struggled with sexual choices. I struggled with profound loneliness and loss and need of healing. And during that period of time, that almost 9 years, God was so faithful and patient with me. And the lessons I learned in that time, I don't think I would have learned them otherwise. And now I hold them as sweet memories that that the Lord and I share, and that really brought me to writing this book.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, because then people know a context from which you're sharing, and that this is not just theory for you. This is something you've walked through. And you and I talked about this, you know, before the show, and for the record, and you know this too, there are plenty of single dads out there who are so not by choice of their own, where the women left, and then maybe they left, ended the marriage, walked out, and left the husband with the kids, and the husband is as stunned. In fact, I've heard from some of those dads who feel sometimes now that they're glad the church is rising up and talking and addressing single motherhood, but they're saying, well, what about us? I mean, because so often there's the stigma that only the man leaves, but that's just not the case, especially now, right?
It's absolutely not the case. And my book is not to exclude them. In fact, I've heard from men that it is applicable to them too. I've heard that my book is applicable. I've heard from even married women who feel alone in their parenting that it's applicable to them as well. No, in fact, only 1% of evangelical churches today minister formally to the needs of single mothers. And single fathers, it's virtually, it's non-existent, specific ministries to single fathers. And my heart breaks for that. Of course, I speak out of my experience as a single mother, but the concepts of poverty, the concepts of provision, loneliness, loss, need of healing, that is universal. It's human. They're human emotions and experiences. And God's word meets us in that place, and that is for everyone, male and female. And so while I speak to single mothers, it really is for everybody.
Yeah, and I sure can hear your tender heart in that. I appreciate that so much, Michelle. And because of your experience, I'd love for you to maybe give us a glimpse into the world of a single mom. What's it like for her from day to day?
I think it depends on the single mother. You know, at first, when I left my marriage, which was such a difficult decision spiritually, I never intended that to happen. No one ever does. And I struggled with that decision. And sometimes there's just bad advice out there. I remember going to a pastor's wife, talking about the emotional abuse that was going on, wondering if I needed to leave, and wondering what it meant to be a submissive wife in that situation. What did I need to do? And she told me, just shut up and take it.
Wow.
And that came from a pastor's wife. And I took that as a voice of authority, and endured that abuse for much longer, a period of time than I probably needed to. You know, we wrestle with that decision to leave, first of all. And so sometimes single mothers come into that life with a sense of shame, a sense of abandonment from the church, that they no longer felt comfortable there, or maybe they felt excluded. And sometimes that perception that we are no longer welcome in the church comes from something that's said from someone who may not be speaking the word and voice of God. But sometimes it just comes from our own perception and our own, you know, need of healing that it comes from that. But the single mother struggles with a lot of areas. In one sense, I felt joy that, oh my goodness, I could make my home the peaceful refuge that I always desired it to be. And I had freedom to come and go as I pleased, to dress as I pleased, to speak as I pleased, and I could worship as I pleased. In that sense, there was profound joy. Hmm. But I entered it wounded, and I entered it in need of healing. And so in the midst of that, there was confusion and loneliness and loss that I really had to wrestle with and work through. At the time, I didn't understand. I knew I had hoped that I would marry again. And still, that's another spiritual choice that I had to wrestle with and seek God in. I didn't think that God would wait 8-9 years. Statistically, women remarry within 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
Of their divorce, which truly isn't, in most cases, it's not enough time to do the healing that's required to do that work. So I'm glad that I did, that he forced it on me, that I had some time.
Talking to Michelle Centers today, author of the book, The Unseen Companion, God with the Single Mother. It's just a really amazing, helpful handbook even for someone walking through life as a single parent. As she said, she wrote this to women, but as I worked through the book, I think, men, if you're a single dad, this will help you immensely as well. We've got 5 copies, thanks to Moody Publishers, 5 copies to get into your hands, not taking calls today. So you can email me, Susie, S-U-S-I-E, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address and your name will go in a drawing. 5 of you will get a copy of this book, The Unseen Companion, God with a Single Mother. More with Michelle Centers when we return. Maybe you need to hear that word today. The promise still stands. God makes promises in his word, and he's made a promise to you. And in that time in between, it's easy to wonder, is he going to come for me? Is he going to break through for me? Well, the promise still stands. Great is his faithfulness. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Talking to Michelle Centers, she wrote the book, The Unseen Companion, God with a Single Mother. And as we said at the outset of the show, she writes to single moms, but we're speaking to both moms and dads today because our hat is off to you. We know you've got an impossible job. And the church, we as the church, need to do a better job at coming alongside you and helping to destroy the stigma that sometimes, as you said, Michelle, people put on single parents, but other times it's a rejection that's coming from the inside. So I'm sure that you're at times reading between the lines because it's such a painful loss. Well, in the book, you use the analogy of a home in shambles, and sometimes that may even be a literal example of the life of a single parent. But let's talk about some of these areas you address in the book regarding that. I'm going to read through the list, and let's just take them one at a time. But you write about balance, companionship, provision, healing, rest, strength, protection, peace, love, identity. And when I read that list, I'm just thinking, if you feel like you're lacking in 2 of these, not to mention all of these, you can imagine why your house would feel like it's in shambles. So, yeah, start with balance. I appreciate your insights on balance, and it would feel impossible for a single parent to achieve a sustainable balance, it would seem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think when we take a look at the worldly definition of balance, and, you know, I took a look at that, and I Googled it and came up with a definition of what the world says balance is. And it's contemporary wisdom of the world that says that we have to determine our priorities and we have to set goals and we purposefully distribute our time and energy and resources into these areas of life. And if we can do that well with also, you know, taking care of ourselves and finding rest, that somehow we'll achieve balance in this life. And so I would try to do that, but I was falling painfully. I was just lacking in everything. I could not keep anything balanced by that definition. But when I discovered the biblical definition of balance, I realized that it had nothing to do with performance or completed checklists or to-do lists. It really has to do with our stability that we find by standing on the rock that is in Christ. Mm-hmm. If we begin to rebuild our home standing on the rock. You know, the Bible talks about the foolish man who builds his house in the sand. That's where I was. My house is constantly slipping from beneath my feet. by whatever storm was brewing in my life. But once I learned to stand firmly on the rock that is Christ, it didn't matter what storm came. The storms continue to come. When we are walking our single parenting life with Christ, the storms still come. The checkbook balances still go in negative. There are struggles that we face that are real. But we will not falter or slip because he is the one sustaining us, not our circumstances.
Got to read this excerpt and from that chapter. It's time to abandon this false belief system about balance. Improving your life management skills shows wisdom. So go to workshops, write your goals, dream big dreams, determine your priorities, and take care of your body. But do not trust even for a moment that your ability to achieve a high level of balance will provide you with a strong foundation. In your longing for balance and stability, build your home on the rock that is Christ. For a house is only as strong as the foundation upon which it stands. I'm thinking that may be just a word of relief for a single mom or dad, feeling like I'm constantly striving for something and it's like chasing after the wind. But if you're built on the rock, you can sometimes have the laundry basket that's overflowing and a checkbook that's pitiful. Somehow, some way you can make it through those moments, right? If your goal and your rock is Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. I think too many times single mothers feel that they must be superwomen, you know, that the world's expectation is that they pull up their big girl pants and deal with it like the rest of the single parent population. But really, it is a time of submission and realizing we can't do it on our own. One of the people in trying to come alongside and help, they often told me, Christian friends, dear friends, would say, well, God will not give you anything more than you can handle. And I'm like, seriously, I can't handle this.
Exactly.
You know, but you must think I can handle it. God thinks I can handle it, but I'm seriously not handling it. And I thought it was just a matter of time before I would have a fall so big that the whole world would find out and I would be put to public shame. That's how it felt. But I realized that the thing that we so often say, God's not going to give you anything more than you can handle, that's not biblical. That's not in the Bible. The scripture that they're referring to has to do with will
temptation.
Not be tempted beyond what we can bear. So we need to stop saying that word of advice because it puts undue pressure on people who are struggling to maintain. It's okay to be weak. We are often given so much more than we can bear. But that's where God comes in to support, sustain, and encourage and strengthen us.
Well, I was never a single parent, but in the depths of my own valleys, people would say that to me, and it was the worst possible thing they could say. Because it felt like they were tossing a platitude saying, well, got to go. And I used to honestly stand in my living room going, if you won't give me more than I can handle, you got me confused with Susie Larson in Cincinnati because this is more than. But you think about Paul. I mean, we were crushed beyond what we could bear, but Christ. I mean, and how do you tell a parent who loses a child or a spouse, you know, whose spouse walks away or a human trafficking victim? Well, God won't give you. And that's ridiculous. But Christ in the midst of the storms. Wow. Okay. I love that you address that because we got to stop saying that. It's just not helpful. Okay.
Absolutely.
And in your list of a house in shambles, you also talk about companionship. Say a word, if you would, about just the because I would imagine as you're walking in this particular journey, even your friendships would change because you were once friends as couples, and then you've got friends who maybe have ideas about single parenting that maybe they pull away. I mean, what surprised you about that level of companionship and community?
Well, as far as friends and family, I lived far away from my family, so I was truly doing it on my own. And friends, sometimes there's preconceived ideas about single parent mothers and maybe for fathers too, that somehow you are a threat to their marriage. and that is just a false belief, at least it was for me, that single parents, they long for companionship of friends and family. Oftentimes I felt my friendships faltering just because I no longer had time. I was doing everything on my own. And so I went into a season of feeling profoundly alone. And I remember a time driving in the car, and I was a kindergarten teacher. My daughter was a kindergarten student, and I was so blessed to have her in my classroom. And every once in a while, I'd ask her kind of an open-ended question as we're driving. And I asked her, Gabby, what's one thing you think I need to know? And she, here she is, this five-year-old little girl. And I'm thinking she's going to say, you know, I thought she was going to ask for a bike or that I need to know something about her friends. And just have this little girl mouth. She said, you need to know that God loves you and he'll never leave you.
Hmm.
And I don't even, well, I know where that came from. That was just the voice of God using a child to speak to an adult. And I really struggled to stay on the road because it spoke to this war-weary soul of mine that I was not alone. And what I discovered in a span of years is that there is a difference between proximity and presence. God's presence is constant. He is always beside us, before us, below, beneath, ahead, you know, above us. We are surrounded by God, and he is hidden only by a thin veil. But because he gives us the freedom of choice, we get to choose our proximity to him and our stance toward him. And it's kind of a difficult topic to really, I mean, I could speak for an hour just on that. But God has complete knowledge of us, yet we get to determine the strength, the depth of intimacy that we have with him. And, you know, he knows every single day of our existence, but yet we get to determine if we spend any of those days with him. So there's this, I don't even know how to explain it, that there's this disparity between the two. He is always present. But because we have the choice of proximity, how involved do we allow God to be in our lives? And how exposed do we allow ourselves to be? Even though he knows all, he wants us to come to him and be vulnerable and open and honest and speak to him. And it's just once I understood that difference, I understood that he is always within arm's reach. I couldn't send myself far away, far enough away from God. He would always find me and draw me close back to him. And it just became a matter of accepting it and speaking to him on a regular basis and being in his word.
Hmm. There's an old Kelly Willard song out of Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? Why would I hide from your eyes? Why would I wander away from you knowing that you are so wise? Boy, I love Jesus so much, and he loves us so much. Talking to Michelle Centers today. She's the author of the book, The Unseen Companion, God with the Single Mother. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about God's presence with us so we can have as much of God as we want. We've got five copies of her great book. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. More great conversation up ahead. Powerful song, especially if you're a single mom or single dad. Really want you to know God is with you. He's not going to let you down, even though I'm sure it feels completely overwhelming at times. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Michelle Centers. She's authored the book, The Unseen Companion, God with the Single Mother. And as she said at the beginning of the show, she's writing to single moms because she knows that from experience. But we honor you dads as well. And before the break, Michelle, you were talking about just God's presence. He's the unseen companion and how often we base his presence based on what we're feeling. And I got to read this excerpt. I thought it was so good. You said, it's within our nature as humans to align our perceptions of God's presence with our current circumstances. In simpler terms, when things work in our favor, we feel God's presence and blessing. When things become difficult, we assume he's distant and perhaps indifferent to our struggles. So bring us to a time in your single parenthood journey when it felt like, I mean, I remember reading how you took your girls camping. You were just determined to give them some experiences, and then the storm tears the tent over, and that feels like such an analogy of your life. Tell me about a time when that felt true, and then somehow you decided, I'm going to stand on the rock that is true instead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there are so many testimonies as to God's faithfulness. But when we are in that moment of crisis, sometimes we don't see God. And I'd always ask him, you know, with my fist shaking in the air, where are you in this? You say you love me, but I don't see you. I don't see any help. Why does so-and-so get to thrive and I am seeing you crushed? Don't you even see me? And I remember one time looking in the cupboards, trying to find some food in the house, and there was nothing there. And I was probably lower middle class by standing. I tried to get government assistance, but I made $300 too much per year. And so I would often fall into situational poverty where, you know, something would happen and I would fall below the poverty line and I would lose access to basic needs. And in this instance, I didn't have enough food in the house, and I didn't really know how to go about going to food pantries or things like that. I just was trying to make sense of what I had, and my checking account was in deficit. And I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't have enough food to feed them. And there would be times I would feed my girls and I would remain a little hungry or in want. But I remember searching through the house for change, and what I found was a jacket from Walmart with a $25 price tag still on it. I had not used it. I thought, great, I will return this and go to the store, and with that $25, I would have to buy food enough for 2 weeks and laundry detergent. But I was like, okay, that's at least enough for a little bit to buy us some time. And I returned it. I didn't have the receipt, and the jacket had gone on sale, and they gave me $12.
Oh, my.
And I remember just biting my lip as I was walking with my children. And I didn't look poor. I mean, I dressed as a professional, and you know, I was walking through Walmart looking at people passing by me with their carts overflowing, and I had $12. And I'm like, Lord, for 2 weeks, how are you going to multiply these loaves and fishes? How are you going to do that in the world today? And I remember just humbly just making these decisions and trying to make a game out of it with my girls who are asking for everything and just that pressure. And I went home and just with what little we had, and I'm like, Lord, and I made a list of all my needs. And that weekend I had given some change, like all the rest of my change I had in the offering plate. It's like, everything I have is yours, Lord. But you have to come alongside me and help me through this because I can't do it alone. I don't have the know-how. I don't have the skills. I don't have the resources. And it was not too long after that, I checked the mail, and there was this check for $1,000 from the church. And just out of the blue, someone had donated. Now, granted, they didn't know if I was a little bit too proud to express my needs, so they did not know my need. But they knew I was involved in the single mother's ministry, and someone had donated that in my name. And all of a sudden, I had enough. And now that's a big thing that happened. But there's all these small little things that God did along the way. And in those tough times that continue to happen, I would choose to remember his faithfulness. And so instead of with fists raised to God, you know, where are you in the midst of this, God? I was more inclined to say, God, show me where you are in this. And he would, and you know, with joy, like, oh, I see your hand here and I see you here. And all of a sudden it became a testimony to his great love and faithfulness rather than his abandonment. Does that make sense?
Oh, so much. And I just feel like that's a story that somebody listening needed to hear today. And, you know, I wonder how you process with your children. I'm trying to imagine that they have their fears, their worries, their questions about what just happened here, but so do you. So how does a single mom or dad choose to process? To what extent do you process with your kids? How do you answer their questions?
Boy, that's a hard one. In the end of each chapter of the book, you know, the majority of the book really focuses on meeting those spiritual needs of the single mom. It's kind of like if you're in an airplane, they tell you to put on the oxygen mask first before putting it on your kids. That's what this book is about. But then at the end of each chapter, it talks about building a legacy. How do we take these skills now and this knowledge of the Lord and pass that on to our kids? When it came time to talking with them, I made a decision at the very beginning that I was not going to bash their father. I had to hold true to that. Even though my anger was righteous, I wanted to leave room for grace for them because I know that they needed him. And they have a tumultuous, kind of a stressed relationship with him. But I spoke the truth with love. And I did not do everything right, but that is one thing that I held true to, that I was not going to bash him. And so I tried to respect as much as I possibly could and give them as much time with him as I could. But I did speak to them truthfully about things. I didn't fabricate things. With our kids, when we struggle, I had to make a choice of when do they see their mom weak and when do they see her strong. Mm. They needed a firm foundation. I was their foundation. They're not at a point in their spiritual walk where they see God as their foundation piece. I'm a reflection of that as their custodial parent. And so, but I also had to show them that there are times that we are not strong, that we can be weak before the Lord. And so in those things that didn't threaten their security, I allowed them to see me weak sometimes and go to the Lord for help and say, wow, I'm really struggling with this right now, and I just need to pray about this. You know, maybe you can pray with me about this. But in things like with money, I had to really draw back with how much I shared about with that with them, because I was unknowingly for a time thrusting upon them the spirit of poverty. You know, I'd say, oh, we're too poor for that. Or, I mean, just unknowingly, I can't afford that. Instead of saying things like, well, that's not in our budget right now. I have to be really careful with how we spend the money God has given us.
Wow, what a difference. What a paradigm shift, you know. But you sure can see if you're not even guarding your own thoughts, which it seems like such an extreme standard for the single parent to have to really steward their thoughts so that out of your heart, your mouth doesn't speak for the sake of your kids. I mean, what a paradigm shift to say, oh, it's just not in our budget right now. So
I wish I had changed that years earlier. That took a lot of time and a lot of grooming from God and discipline from God to be able to do that, because I was unknowingly projecting poverty on them. I was unknowingly projecting, you know, feelings of abandonment and shame on them, and they didn't deserve that. But once I started really being careful with how I speak and trying to speak with hope with them, that started changing their perspective.
Again, you know, you're helping single moms, and you have a ministry to single moms, and I imagine God's grace is so sufficient for you that, you know, we don't make our values, we don't make them through pretty, you know, they're not choreographed. They're sometimes messy, and that he's been just gracious with you, and that you can pass your wisdom on, hard earned wisdom to others is a great, great thing. How old are your kids now?
I have two 23-year-olds, and as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, one of my oldest daughters is adopted. I adopted her as an adult. I brought her into our family when she was a teen, and Ma was a single mom. And years later, she asked me to adopt her. And then my youngest, oh my goodness, is going to be a senior next year. She's 16 now and going to be a senior. And I don't know where the time went, you know. But when I look back at my single mom years, those times together between parent and child were among the most precious we had. And I really thank God that I had that time with them like that.
And, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, I just was kind of paralleling that, where it is, you know, easy to go back and go, if I could have done this different, I would have. And we all have those thoughts, right? But then when you look at how you together had to hold tight to each other and hold fast to God, the fruit of that on the other side is the intimacy you have with each other and with God. You know, it's amazing. We don't like how that goes, but somehow God makes something beautiful out of it.
Well, we didn't come out of this without any scars. I mean, I think if people are considering purchasing this book for themselves or for a loved one, this is not a to-do list of how to get it right like me. I mean, I just could not present myself that way, because that would be false. Really, I had a few arguments with God because in writing this, because I had to be really vulnerable and talk about things like sexual sin and poor choices I made and really expose myself for the sake of another and for the sake of saying, see, this is where God is in the midst of this. Because I was guilty for just about anything a person could be guilty for. And I remember arguing with God about it, like, really, do we really need to discuss this? And he just reminded me of the woman at the well. You know, he did not shelter her from telling her story to billions of people for generations, for all time and eternity, telling her story that his glory and his mercy might be revealed. And she wasn't given the privilege of, you know, keeping her shameful life quiet, because it touched so many. And her story touched me. God, Jesus went out of his way to meet a woman who Jews normally would never speak to. And in that sense, when I remembered her, I thought, who am I to hold back? I would much rather expose this in order that someone might feel heard and might feel seen, maybe for the first time.
I don't know. I think that's what it means to steward your story with humility and grace, because Jesus is your defender. He's your deliverer. And for you to be able to do like the woman at the well, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. It's like, I know freedom, and I want you to know freedom. I just think that's beautiful. When we come back, you know, and I'm just going to set this up. A former single mom told me actually the other day that she and a lot of her single friends were constantly on the lookout for their next husband. And I can imagine that would be something like, a lot of my problems would get fixed if I could find another man. I want you to just speak to maybe the dangers of obsessing over that too much, or what's a balanced perspective there, and then how you met your husband. All right, let's talk about that. Talking to Michelle Centers, she's the author of the book, The Unseen Companion, God with the Single Mother. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to author, speaker Michelle Centers. She's written the book, The Unseen Companion, God with a Single Mother. If you just tuned in the past segments, we've talked about how much to tell the kids and how you process your pain with the kids, and talked about how to navigate those times when God seems so absent and he's just sort of letting the storms hit you. How do you find your rock underneath your feet? How do you stand in Christ when it feels that he's absent or lost your address? Well, let's talk now about the idea of a single mom and a pursuit for your next husband. As I said before the break, Michelle, a former single mama, told me the other day that she and a lot of her friends were constantly on the lookout for their next hubby. And, you know, you sure can see how you would feel that this will solve a lot of my problems. But I would imagine that in that kind of pursuit and maybe even obsession, you would be setting yourself up for some dangerous relationships if you're not careful. Speak to that issue, if you would.
Absolutely. That is probably one of the biggest issues single parents face, is this person. I mean, when you take a look at our society, the way advertising is, the way the television shows that we watch, everything has to do with the pursuit of love, it seems, or has to do with sex, being sexy, being desirable. And it can really skew with the mind. When I was struggling financially, of course, there is the belief system, well, when I'm married, this will be easier. When I'm struggling getting the kids at all their different places and managing time and who's going to, you know, need to run to the store, yet there's parent-teacher conferences and there's too much to handle, I would think, well, when I'm remarried, this will be easier. And so there was always this perception that there is going to be an arrival at some point. And I just had to get through this phase until the arrival, and then my life would start. And I didn't really understand it like that at the time. I just knew that I was lonely. And even more than that, my children needed a father. They longed for a father. That was my youngest little girl. She was 2 when I left. And And all she wanted in life was a father. And I would just be like, Lord, why are you withholding this from me? And I did, you know, I went on the dating websites. I dated. Dating as an adult is just horrendous. I can just put that out there right now. It was a horrible experience. And, you know, I would just, there is a profound loneliness that seeps into our heart and pulls us through the bed into the depths at night. It was that kind of loneliness that causes physical pain in the chest, that causes us to make stupid choices. So many of the mothers, single moms that I minister to, that is the big pursuit, is the husband. And a lot of times they make choices, as well as I've made choices, to engage in sexual relationships ahead of time. Some choose to cohabitate ahead of time. In my book, I do not deal with that with shame. I will not touch that with shame, because there, you know, it is for the Lord alone to convict and show a better way. And so what I encourage single moms to do is that, number one, a husband isn't going to solve all your problems, because what you're doing is you're projecting your need for a savior onto a human man, and no one can give that to us. And that's unfair for your future husband to project the need. You have to save me from myself. You have to save me from this. Only the Lord alone can do that. And so I really encourage single moms to find your healing first. Do the work that it takes to become healthy. But also, I encourage single moms to devote a period of time to get to know Jesus. You know, we say we love him. Christians say, you know, I love Jesus. I'm a Jesus lover. I follow Jesus. But do we really know who it is who we love? Sometimes we take more time buying a purse and choosing a purse than we do getting to know, you know, who it is that we say that we're following. And so I suggest taking, you know, Jesus said to his disciples, come away with me by yourselves and get some rest. And so I use that scripture to encourage single moms, give yourself a period of time. For me, it was 2 years. I did not date. I was not seeking that. It was about God. And one of the things I did, you know, when I became a single mother, I could never sleep in the middle of the bed. The other side of the bed, I couldn't go there, and it remained made while I slept on my side. The pillow remained fluffed. And it was this constant reminder that I was alone. Mm. And so during that time of just spending time with Jesus, I would put the Bible on that other pillow. And his word would be the last words I go to bed with. And his words were the first words I would wake up to in the morning. And that gave me a stability then that when I did remarry, when I was ready for that so many years later, God was still there. He was my savior. My husband today does not bear that burden of needing to save me or be everything to me. And he can make mistakes, and I just go to God about it.
Yeah.
And it's because I have that stability there. Mm. And so when my husband and I have issues and problems, I am not a leaf being blown in the wind. I still stand on the rock that is Christ, and there I find my stability. So I really encourage, you know, so often when we are desperate, we're willing to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And love, as the way the world projects it right now, is nothing but crumbs. It is, you know, the woman went to the well for water to sustain her. It's like drinking salt water. It does not quench our thirst. But when we go to Jesus, you know, it says in Isaiah that he's preparing a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet with aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. And you imagine this long banquet table. That is what the Lord has awaiting for us. You know, that is the bridegroom waiting for his bride and preparing this banquet hall to celebrate her. That's the relationship Jesus has. But in our longing and the depth of loneliness, we eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And God holds us higher than that. He esteems us greater than that.
That is such wonderful, profound wisdom that you've offered to somebody. I just sensed them leaning forward and taking in every word you said. That is hard-fought wisdom, Michelle, and such brilliant wisdom to be seeking him first, because you think about the pressure you'd be putting on a marriage, that it's not meant to sustain it. Here, this future husband God may be preparing for this woman is a gift, but not a source. And if we look at it as a source and not a gift, we drain it unnecessarily. And we just got a couple minutes before it's time to pray. But I want you just to say a word about just the transition then into marriage for you. Once you'd gotten your heart in a place, and was it 6 or 9 years later, you said, that you finally then got married again?
It was almost 9 years later, and which was just a long time to wait. But when we married, I married a godly man who loved me, loved children. We had shared interests. I knew that this was God's will for me. There was no question about it. And I didn't need him to be my savior. Second marriages are wrought with difficulties. It is not an arrival. It is simply a different journey. And it has its own set of issues. And we struggle. I think anybody would be lying if they said that there aren't struggles in that. He brings his own stuff to the table, and I bring my own stuff to the table. And you know, parenting stepchildren is difficult, especially when you come into it and they're teenagers. That is difficult. But we both love the Lord, and we go to the Lord with our issues, and we muddle through it and we figure it out, but we love the Lord first and each other and the children. And that's how I know that we're going to make it. And I'm so thankful that God waited and made me wait, because while it's not a perfect marriage, while it's not what they glorify on TV as a perfect marriage, it is what God has given, and it is a gift and a blessing.
Wow. Appreciate your wisdom, truly, Michelle. I just feel like this show today is a gift for somebody. I just know it. And as we get ready to wrap, I'm wondering if you'd pray for that single parent listening today who's just been weary in well-doing. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Lord God, I just invite you into this place and ask the Holy Spirit to come to that single mother or that single father or a lonely married person, maybe even someone who's without children. But in the depths that we find on this earth, this broken earth, Lord God, I pray that you come in a profound way. And so as we as a people shake our fists and say, where are you, God, that you can show us that you are right here in this moment, speaking words of mercy and forgiveness and of love, and that you draw us to your heart, Lord God. I think of your scripture, your word that said, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. Lord God, I imagine us crawled up on your lap with our head on your chest and just feeling your heartbeat and your arms wrapped around us and finding the rest that our soul longs for. Lord God, I pray that you come into these quiet moments with a personal word for the listener, and that you show us that you are ever present. I thank you, Lord, for loving us. And I thank you for that person who's listening today who is feeling goosebumps on their arm because they feel your Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. Join us again next time for more great, powerful conversation. God bless your day. Sorry, had to jump in. We had that heart out right there.
I'm so sorry.
No, are you kidding me? Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.